We're going to embed the scripture in the sermon this morning, so we won't have a separate reading of that very long story in the Gospel of John, chapter 9. But I invite you to open your Bibles just to make sure that you get all the parts of the story. And if you're wondering, wow, did Jesus really say that? You can actually check in the Bible and see that, yeah, that crazy story is actually in our scriptures. So John 9, verses 1 to 41, which is on page 97 in your pew Bibles in the second half. Bible commentators call this one of the greatest stories in the Gospels. One of the most cleverly written stories as well. And that's why it probably shows up in all four Gospels. It's especially fun in the Gospel of John because for most of this story, Jesus isn't even there. And so that's a curious, interesting thing. And it's a vivid story. It's humorous. It's this journey of seeing or not seeing. And as you move through the story, it's this journey of warming your heart towards the Jesus message or hardening your heart towards the Jesus message. As the week-long festival of booths concludes, Jesus and his disciples decide to get out of Dodge. It's been quite a week. This remnant of 11 disciples that came into Jerusalem for the festival have become a larger force during the 7 days, but it's not been without its battle scars and woundings, and the opposition from the crowds and the religious leaders is escalating. Jesus just can't stop comparing himself to God, and this isn't getting him into trouble. It's driving the religious people crazy. He speaks of this freedom that is so foreign to their ways of tradition and proper worship or expectation. He also talks of these great cosmic things like light versus darkness. And he's using these I am statements. He's saying things like, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life. The light of life. Imagine someone in the crowd saying, where can I get more of this light? But the religious leaders were probably rebuking voices like that, saying, Jesus, you are a Samaritan, and you have a demon. They pick up stones, we read in chapter 6, and begin to get ready to hurl these stones at Jesus. So getting out of Dodge for Jesus and the disciples probably isn't a leisurely stroll out of the city. Imagine thousands of people leaving the festival, and Jesus and his disciples kind of darting in and out of the crowd, trying to flee from these angry religious leaders who have their fists raised in the air, stones in their hands, trying to get their hands and their fists and their rocks at Jesus. They don't get too far out of town before Jesus stops. He sees a man who's been blind for many years. The blind man sits near the side of the road, several other beggars, tattered clothes, this weathered mat that he sits upon year after year after year, glazed eyes, pursed lips. He overhears one of the disciples ask a question he's heard many a time. Rabbi, who sinned? This man or his parents, that he was born blind? The blind man hears an answer that he's never heard before. Neither this man nor his parents sinned. Let the works of God be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. The light of the world, the blind man perks up. If anyone needs a bit of light, you'd think the blind man hears spitting on the ground, maybe a little too close for comfort. Then he feels some kind of paste pushed in his eye sockets, smeared across the bridge of his nose. What in the world? Are these people playing a trick on me? He hears the voice of the one called Rabbi. Go, wash in the pool of Siloam. A 20-minute walk for a person with sight, but for a person who can't see, in the midst of a crowd of thousands, probably an hour-long journey. He makes his way to this bubbling brook just outside of the temple courts. He washes his eyes, and it feels as if scales are falling from his eyes. He can see. Imagine him opening his eyes. Ken was talking about this. Imagine what he sees. Color, the blue sky, a dog chewing a bone in the middle of the street, children playing, people laughing. Fill in the details with your own imagination of what this man sees for the very first time and how he must feel in the midst of seeing. I think he would shoot his arms up in the air, right? I can see! I can see! I can see! Jumping around for joy, excited like never before. Imagine the most excited moment you've ever had in your life. This man has hit the jackpot. And he runs. He runs back to what he calls home. Fellow beggars and crippled people with makeshift tents, those who have squatter rights just outside of Jerusalem. And he shouts at his friends, I can see. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. I can see. One of the merchants nearby overhears his exuberance. He asks the once blind man, is this not the man who used to sit and beg? The man shouts out, yes, I am the man. I am the man. The merchant replies, but how were your eyes open? He answers, the man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, go to Siloam and wash. Then I went and washed and received my sight. Where is he? The once blind man answers, I do not know. Now, some of these merchant friends were probably friends of Pharisees. They knew about religion enough that making mud cakes on Sabbath was probably against the rules. And so they implore this man, let's go talk to some of my friends in the city. The Pharisees echo the questions of the rural merchants when the once blind man comes before them. How were your eyes opened? The man answers, the man called Jesus. He put mud on my eyes, then I washed, now I see. One of the Pharisees grumbles, this man called Jesus is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath. Another Pharisee pushes back, how can a man who is a sinner perform such signs? Another Pharisee presses into the argument, you're both wrong. Ask the blind man. What do you say about him? It was your eyes he opened. The once blind man says, he is a prophet. Frustrated Pharisees. Imagine them, 14 of them, just dressed up in their Sunday finest, pushing and prodding this once blind man to his parents' house. They get to the house, parents probably in a state of shock. They, like any good parent, probably hug him. And he's screaming, I can see, I can see, I can see. But then quickly the Pharisees interrogate. Is this your son? Do you say he was born blind? How does he now see? They respond nervously, maybe fearful of being de-synagogued. Oh, we know that this is our son. He was born blind, but we do not know how it is that now he sees. And we do not know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He's old enough to know. The Pharisees again interrogate the once blind man. This man Jesus is not from God, so give glory to God. We know this man called Jesus is a sinner. The once blind man answers, I do not know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see. And if this was a musical, a quartet would emerge from the shadows. Do, 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 do. You know, vocal harmony. The Pharisees sneer and glare. What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? Once blind man answers, I've told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do, do. Imagine this big grin emerging across his face, his grimy face. Do you also want to become his disciples? With demon-like rage, they hiss at him. You are his disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses. But as for this man, we do not know where he comes from. The man is unshaken by their venom. Astonishing! You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We all know that God does not listen to willful sinners, but God does listen to one who worships him and obeys his will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. Pharisees scornfully respond, you were born entirely in sins, and you were trying to teach us? Imagine several of them grabbing him by his dusty robes, throwing him out of the parents' house. He lands in the middle of a dirty street and lifts his head, watches the Pharisees marching back to the temple in all their glorious garments and vestments. He follows from a distance, curious as what's going to happen next in his crazy day. Then, standing on a high place in the temple courts, a large crowd has gathered. He hears that voice. The voice of the one teaching near the synagogue. It's the rabbi. Jesus walks towards the once blind man. The man runs toward Jesus. Rabbi! Jesus stares into his eyes. Do you believe in the Son of Man? The man answers, Sir, who is he? Tell me so that I may believe in him. Jesus answers, You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he. Lord, I believe. The man hits the dirt, his face against Jesus' feet. The tradition would be to kiss the hem of Jesus' robe. I believe. Jesus looks around to the crowd of onlookers and says, I came into the world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind. The Pharisees guffaw. Surely we are not blind, are we? Jesus answers, If only you were blind, you would not have sin. But now that you say, We see, you are stuck in your sin. This is the word of the Lord. I think there's two ways to journey with this story today. You can journey towards light, revelation, or you can journey towards darkness and the hardening of your hearts. I hope, since you're all here in church and it's minus 30 outside, you're considering the light journey. It's Epiphany, the season of revelation, the season where God makes manifest. And so may we be a people who are open to enlightenment, illumination. I don't know if you remember the I Found It campaign of the 70s. It was Christian billboards across America where all it said was, I found it, exclamation mark. Is anyone familiar with that? Okay. And you were supposed to see that billboard and then find someone who could explain, I found it, to you. And hopefully they were Christians, and then they would talk to you about Christian faith. Well, contrary to finding Jesus if you try hard enough, the good news of today's story is that Jesus finds you. If anyone can have the I found it sticker on his car, it's Jesus. He finds us. Think about it. The once blind man, or that Samaritan woman at the well, or the healed man at the pool of Bethesda. The recurring good news theme of the Gospel of John is that Jesus finds you and me. He finds us. Right from the beginning of the story, he sees the blind man. He sees us first. Whether we're proud and claim that we know everything, or whether we're broken and tired and weak and at the end of our rope or the end of our resources, the good news is that Jesus sees you first. And thus we're given a choice: to follow this one who calls himself the light of the world, or to stay in darkness in our religious Sunday finest with our arms crossed. Turning a blind eye to this gracious invitation of abundance. As we make our way to the table of our Lord this morning, let's follow the example of the lowly, once blind man. Come to Jesus with a heart and a soul and a posture of worship that says, I believe, and allow our living and loving God to heal you, to meet you anew, to bring light into your being again this day. We're going to come forward and receive communion today. As you eat the bread of Christ, you'll note that the chunks are bigger than usual. Eat the bread of Christ with eyes wide open. Look at that piece of bread. Recognize Jesus' faithful providence for you as you see the bread of life coming into you. Drink the cup of Christ through eyes of faith, fixing your gaze on the cup that you drink from, believing that Jesus pours his fullness, his forgiveness, his life, his grace, his empowering presence into your being today. And being filled by the cup, being filled by the bread of life, we're empowered to live that life of love, service, sacrifice, devotion to those we meet this day or this week. Hear the words of invitation that continue into John chapter 10. John 9 and 10 are hand in hand. Jesus saying to the once blind man, and whoever is hearing at this moment in time, whoever enters by me, the gate will be saved, will come in and go out and find pasture. I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. The invitation is sure. The invitation is generous. It's lavish. The promises continue in John chapter 10. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them deep, lasting life and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. So as we come to the table of the Lord this morning, come and see. Come with eyes wide open. Come and taste of the Lord's goodness. The good news for us is that we have been found. Thanks be to God.